This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening.
We're in the second part of this. No, where are we? Acts 16. I was about to say Timothy, but we completed that. Now we're in Acts 16, 22 through 40, and we're talking about how Paul took the side of the jailer in jail. After all the doors were open and the chains were broken, and the clasps were on their feet, the stocks fell apart, all of it. And he still stayed on behalf of the jailer. Notice how specific it is. How we can get entrapped in certain groupthink sort of ideology where like straw man arguments are all the rage. But God deals in specifics and people one at a time come to Christ, and seldom we'll talk about this. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help us discern your call and your will, and how it's sort of following in 2 Timothy, how it sometimes plays out, and how you expect us to follow you open-heartedly into these situations that you guide us through and into, and all for your glory and your honor. So I pray that you strengthen us today in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm going to put down my guitar. Here we go, Gertie. Yep. So, guitar is down. Now I can continue this. These specifics. We are, and I think, you know, a lot of my viewpoint when it came to doing this and podcasting and all of that, I was more focused on the whole community and just developing a community. Whereas sometimes God's specifically specific about who he wants us to impact. And we need to not overlook those small points, those because actually the whole kingdom can reside in one person. So through the Holy Spirit and Christ's death and resurrection, bringing the kingdom into our lives. So it's really no small thing to be worried about that small thing, that just that one person. And when I've had doubts about the situation that I'm in, and you know, thinking I could do more outside of jail, right? And whatever that situation is, I could do more if I would just leave when the door's open, y'all. I forget the one person that God is using me to minister to stand in the gap for, to stay imprisoned, willingly imprisoned for. Now this could bring up all kinds, and I knew that it would, in the area of either, you know, spousal abuse or whatever. Yesterday we talked about how Joyce Meyer, I mean, the minute she was 18, she left, and how the Lord wanted her to minister to her family again once she was well established. And, you know, frankly, I had no reasons to go back on a human level and care at all. Every family has its baggage, and mine is no exception. And they're not, And it's very easy, though, to adopt that mindset where you need to put up with it. And it's got a holiness factor to it. And it has downplayed religious spousal abuse. And so whereas the husband is, for example, completely content and not loving his wife, not serving his wife, not applying anywhere near 1 Corinthians 13 to his married life, but yet in religious terms, in the religion of marriage, so to speak, she has to stay. He has denied her God, because that's not in the Bible. That's not from the God of the Bible. And he has denied her. And you can look at Scripture and say he has denied both. And it would be feasible to divorce. And she would not necessarily be in the wrong. The problem that is played out, and I want to, you know, because the alternative, my friend, is that we condone abuse because two people signed a certificate. We trample on very serious ground. It's not, I don't want to get to, I'm going to speak for myself right here. I don't want to land my 2 feet in heaven and God say, why did you mistreat her when she sought for help? And she got a divorce. Why was she mistreated? I know. There are so many stories on this side of the fence. Behind closed doors. Of women being mistreated. And spiritually abused. To stay in their situation. The God of the Bible has been denied. Point. Point blank. I don't care what kind of religious lingo has been painted over it. I don't care what kind of dance, rain dance, is going around the issue. I don't care. The God of the Bible, when a man refuses to honor his wife in love and serve her, as the Bible clearly teaches, you're in denial of the God of the Bible and you're harming his child. This is not on the side of good. This is, you think you're on the good side by staying married, and it's superficial at best, but you are indirect. In fact, God's not hearing your prayers. You're in direct opposition to the living God. It's not even kind of, sort of. Direct opposition to the God of the Bible. There are so many women on this side of the aisle who, whether their husband never grew up, was never taught how to treat their wife, they've got their own baggage that they've never dealt with. Maybe they've got porn addictions or whatever it is. But the pride that bolsters, because if we've got money in the bank, we're fine. And so that's sort of the MO. If there's money in the bank, I'm fine, and she should just get in line. If we look okay, we are okay. if we go to church and we warm a pew for an hour, we are fine. She should just deal. I don't see that. I'm looking. I have looked in my Bible. I have looked at status quo. I have looked for status quo in these scriptures, and they are not there. They are not there. Money is not the end. The kingdom is the end. Status quo will not get you beyond the pearly gates, my friend. Warming a pew will not get you beyond the pearly gates, my friend. It will not go. So all this self-deceiving, it could go either way. Whew. I've seen both sides. Just got to stay married. Well, he's trying to do the work of the Lord or whatever, and she wants nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. That little pastorship has already died. It has already died. I know. I'm just stomping all over toes, but you cannot be one and not one at the same time. Can you? Got serious dysfunction. Oh, you're going to live your own life, but he's going to be a pastor? It's just not how it works. It's not how it works. It fails every time. And she's bitter at something. It's not, you know, not ever going to come together. And so her solution is, I'll make money. He can do his playground pastor thing. Because I've got my head on my shoulders and he's done nothing to prove to me that this is real. Yeah, makes me want to take a bath. What's going on? Really? And we're all broken. And what Paul said, he's in jail, right? Doors came down and he took the side of the jailer and stayed in there. And this is something that is spiritually discerned. So if you're looking for a divorce to solve your problems, you're looking for the, well, says here in scripture, I can do it. Maybe. God took me from a place of telling me as I was steeped in sin, knowing that that's where I was and thinking that, you know, I have to get a divorce because I'm messing up here. The Lord telling me that is not, you are going to reap what you are. You are going to reap what you are sowing. That will not end well. That is not God threatening me with bad omens. It's not how that was working. I was literally sowing bad seed. And I was good. This is part of God's laws that he's already put into this earth. I was going to reap that. It was going to end up nowhere. Destitute. It wasn't God threatening me. It was like, hold up. You've got some changing to do. I don't want to change. I was filled with pain. I didn't want anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it. All I could see was the pain that was inflicted upon me. And oh, it was all about me. It was for years all about me. I did not want to change. I did not want to get softer. I did not want to be confronted. I didn't want any of it. I wanted the pain to stop. And that was all. That was all. That was the only thing I had my eyes on. And, you know, this will send you to divorce. You want the pain to stop. I'm signing the papers. If that is the only thing you are going to focus on, it will send you to the courthouse. If there is no room for your own change, if there is no room for God to speak into your life, if there is no room for you to grow, it's just, and all you can see is the red blaring lights of your pain. You go into the courthouse, and we know what it does. God hates it for a good reason. He hates it for a good reason. He doesn't condemn us with it. It's not one of the Ten Commandments. He hates it for a good reason. It destroys people, mostly kids. So God put that hedge up, and he said he was going to put this hedge up. He put that hedge up. He was like, no, that's not your option. And so I kept, you know, walking through. And here's where I'm at. At some point, the walls opened. I mean, the doors opened. The chains fell off. And I realized I was not facing... what I was going to reap had changed. And that clear-headedness, and the forsaking of my sin had changed my future. I'm not talking about saving myself, salvation. That's what I'm talking about. That had changed. And if I made a decision, that past thing was past, that there was a new outlook, but the Lord was still like, hey, I've given you freedom now, I've given you a choice now. And I came to a point that I wanted to side with the jailer. And that it was important to me, if I was ever going to face my kids, if I was ever going to legitimately reflect upon myself, have my... And know that I ran out in the hopes of reaching all these people, but neglected the one that was going to be a farce. That my example was Jesus. He left the what? He left the 99. It's not crowds that have his attention. It's not hype that has his attention. It's the one that has his attention. So I knew what God was really leading me to do, though he was giving me the freedom to make a choice. It's a very strange paradox, because at the onset of all this, I had no idea really what my circumstances were. Before 10 years ago, before any of this, the whole thing transpired, I was totally unaware. He told me through his word and through preachers, because it was pretty heavy stuff, what he was going to do. And so when the doors opened and the chains came off and I had a choice and I was sitting in the dark still, I thought, I got a kingdom living inside me. I got a king is on the throne. My circumstances are not, read the song, are not subsiding. But I know who has already won. Somebody write that down. I have to re-listen, I guess. And I wanted to taste and see every single one of those promises. I wanted to see them all come to fruition. Because some of us were like, we've seen God do a few things. And maybe way back, we heard that, we had the feeling he was going to do something else, but we didn't wait long enough to carry it out. We didn't go all the way through with God. We stopped somewhere when it got hard, got a drink of water, and sort of trailed off on another direction. Maybe someone today, somebody's being called back. In. To follow it through. To go all the way to the end. And bring God the most. The most glory that you can, that you've been commissioned to do. Peace out.
Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.